Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Friday, March 23rd, 2018, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 42, the last paragraph, which begins with quite as important. We're reading through and commenting on two paragraphs ending with commence to solve their problems. Today's readers are Jordan L. for the 12 steps, Mary Jane Z. for the 12 traditions, Polly Q., Terry H., and Kathy Jo P. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, March 22nd, Thursday, was 11,200. That's 11200. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, March 23rd, is 11,202. I'm just going to quickly confirm that. It's actually 11,205, 11205. Thank you. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jordan L. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. This is Jordan L., a compulsive overeater in Colorado. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Mary Jane Z., please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes. Thank you, Mary Jane.
This is Mary Jane Z., recovered in Kentucky. Thank you for your service. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you very much, Mary Jane C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book on page 42, starting with the third paragraph, the last paragraph, beginning with quite as important. And we're going to read through and comment on two paragraphs. I will now ask Polly Q to please begin reading.
Hi, this is Polly Q in California, recovered. May I be heard?
Yes, Polly, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, moderator. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying and I hope more useful than the life I lived before. My old manner of life was by no means a bad one, but I would not exchange its best moments for the worst I have now. I would not go back to it even if I could. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. He had felt only the first nip of the ringer. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. Oh my gosh. There's a lot I could speak to here. One thing I will tell you is that on April 10th will be the year anniversary of my boyfriend's death. This is my first year recovered, and so it is possible to go through very painful, very dramatic experiences, and remain abstinent, but not without these principles, not without the spiritual principles, not without the steps, and not without you. And that, I was in the program for a lot of years when I came into Vision, and but I really did not understand. I had a lot of friends in the program, but I didn't understand the concept of the we. So I'll explain the we to you with an experience that I had last night. It was the end of a long week. I was feeling just a little bit out of sorts because that's life. I have been doing my 10 steps every morning, and my 11th and my 12th, and I am really trying to grow my spiritual program right now. And that's always a little bit, you know, interesting because I take it seriously now. And I was out of sorts and I needed to go to a restaurant where I was going to be eating dinner with colleagues. And I was not feeling all that great about it because these colleagues are being terminated. And so I knew it was going to be, this is not a program. This wasn't a group of people that have the program. They're lovely women, but they're going to be struggling. And I just got caught up in the idea that one of them was having a 60th birthday party, and I was running around all these stores trying to find these presents and just feeling, you know, resentful, you know. I was actually feeling resentful. And I started to realize, oh, my God, I'm going to go into a restaurant. They're all going to be drinking wine. That's what I'd like to have is a glass of wine. And because I'm out of sorts, and that's life. That's just life. But here come the spiritual principles. So, one, on the way there, I suddenly realize I am in trouble. I admit I am powerless over this disease. And if I walk into that restaurant feeling the way I feel right now, I am going to eat. I'm going to drink. It's over. But you see, I'm in a place now where my disease is like, whoa, all right, let's party. So then I call somebody. I can call someone in Florida, in Boston, and in New York because I am a member of this program, and I do 10 steps, and I have made connections with these people, and they are recovered, and they know what it is to be me. So I am coming to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And three, and this is the most important thing of all, because I have worked these spiritual principles, because they are a way of my life, now, instead of what I used to do in the program, which is push it away and ignore it and
gentle
just try
reminder.
To barrel through it, I call them. And now I switch to I am of service, and it works. It does. I was safe. I was protected. Work this program as if your life depended on it, exactly as it states in the 12 steps in this big book, and you will be safe. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Polly Q. Who else would like to comment on this reading?
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Terry H.
Rebecca.
Terry H. Rebecca, first initial of your last name, Rebecca?
T.
T. Thank you.
Mo H.
Anybody? Mo H. Anybody else? Let's get started with that then. We got a nice lineup here. Wendy M, Kathleen O, Terry H, Rebecca P, Mo H. And please go ahead, Wendy.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. Gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So happy to be on the line this morning. Thank you, Elaine, and everybody else on the line, if you're listening, if you're sharing. And I encourage folks on the line that haven't shared, definitely share. It's a phenomenal feeling. So the word that pops out for me is useful, more useful than the life I lived before. So my story is that I'm a user, I'm a taker, and I'm not useful. It's what can I get? What can I get from absolutely everything that moves, including, of course, the food? I have had so much shame about that. I really ate over the fact that I was not useful, and I couldn't keep a job. Totally ashamed to tell you that. I would go to cocktail parties and lie. I would tell people that I was useful in the world, and I wasn't. I wasn't. I probably wasn't employed at the time, but I made up stuff. So what I want to say is that this usefulness is incredible. Primarily when I work with others, primarily as a sponsor, but to be useful, there's nothing like it. It's the best feeling in the world, you know. And when we do esteemable acts, when we're useful, we get esteem, right? And, they say it's the bright spot of our day, you know. And on page 52, I don't have it in front of me, but we were of no help to others, right? That's where I come from. That's my story. And now I can look the world in the eye. I'm proud of myself. After I get off the phone with a newcomer, with a sponsee, somebody who's returning, and they're getting it, it is the best feeling, you know, in the world. And now today, when my head is on correctly, it's what can I bring to the occasion?
what can I do to add to the equation? How can I be helpful in this scenario? And that is completely opposite, complete contrary action for me, because I'm a user and a taker. That's my default. And this is a game changer. It's a shift in consciousness. If I'm going to an occasion and what can I bring, I'm a completely different person than the one that's going to use and take. So with that, I will pass and thank you all for your service today.
Thank you, Wendy M. Kathleen O, you're up next, followed by Terry H.
Thank you for your service this morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. So most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. And mangled is to injure severely. And I had certainly severely injured myself with food. You know, I woke up every morning with dread and self-loathing and self-hatred. And my life goal was not to join a 12-step program and admit I was out of control when it came to food. Excuse me, but I was desperate and life was too painful and I was out of options. I was miserable, I was a slave to the food, and I was anything but happy, joyous, and free. One of my favorite sentences is, quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. So this does not say I won't have problems, and it doesn't say my life will be perfect and everything is going to go my way. Au contraire, I still have problems, but what solves all these problems are my higher power and these steps. And, you know, doing this program, I learned that most of my problems, and they still do, they stem from selfishness and self-centeredness. But when I can let God run the show, when I can get out of the driver's seat, trust and rely on my higher power, know everyone has their own path to walk, and I need to just get out of the way, and that I'm not always going to get my way, I can be useful instead of trying to control people and situations. So I don't need to know the answers to problems today. I just need to trust and rely on a higher power, and that higher power will do for me what I can't do for myself. You know, my worst day abstinent is better than the best day I ever had in the food. And thank God Fred found this program before he killed himself. Thank God I found it because my life is really good today. It isn't perfect, but I'm happy and I'm free. And I'm grateful to Vision and I'm grateful to all of you on the line. And thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Terry H., you're up next, followed by Rebecca T.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic anorexic in North Carolina. Very grateful today. This part where it says, I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying. I love that word infinitely, you know, beyond, infinity and beyond, no boundaries, just great, immense, more satisfying. This is so true for me today as a recovered woman. In my disease, I was miserable. I isolated, I ran away, life was not satisfying to me. And that's one of the reasons that brought me into this program, because I was dying. I was just dying. And today, you know, this promise, you know, that I read and the work that I did to get to this place in my life today is amazing. Is amazing. You know, the spiritual principles of this program would solve all my problems and do solve all my problems when I seek God and God's direction. Sometimes my ego still gets in the way. But not just my food problems, all my problems in life. You know, right now I have a foot injury and, you know, I've been trying to do everything I could do myself to get it well, because I'm in the process of training for triathlon. And now today I have to take other actions. I have to seek the professional's help because my self-knowledge is getting me nowhere. And that's what I had to do in my program as well. And, you know, I'm just really grateful. You know, I can be more useful today than I was in my disease. in life. And that's what I, you know, want to be. I want to be more useful. I want to be of maximum service. I want to be helpful. And sometimes my ego gets in the way and trips me up and knocks me down. But, you know, I just try to do the work and just keep the focus. I am a process in the making. And, you know, I just want to keep at it because my best days my worst days in recovery are better than my best days in my disease, just like the fellow said before me. And I'm just really grateful. I'm really grateful that I have a higher power today that's in control of my life. And when I'm seeking and taking right action and right thought, you know, it's infinitely more satisfying. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry H. Rebecca T., you're up next, followed by Mo H. Rebecca, star one to unmute.
Hi, it's Rebecca T. in Central California.
Thank you.
Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm so grateful to be here. I want to thank all you amazing recovered people because for the newly recovered, it is so inspiring. And I want to I look forward to being where you guys are, you know, 10 years from now and still showing up and just knowing how important it is. And I am newly almost 3 months recovered, and I finally get the spiritual recovery part. I hadn't for so many years. And today I am blessed to think, yeah, what is God's will for me today? What will he have me do? And how can I be of service? Before, even just 3 months ago, and it makes me teary-eyed because I'm still realizing things about myself that I really had no idea. But even just 3 months ago, I thought I knew something that everyone else didn't. I thought for sure I can, you know, handle my problems on my own. I thought I was like superhuman. I thought that nobody else could help me with you know, the struggles that I had, and it was only me that could figure it out. I mean, I believe that's, you know, self-righteous thinking. That's definitely self-willed. I couldn't fall to my knees because, you know, I was like, no, I can do this. So, you know, I've been fighting through this for 20 plus years until finally I tried absolutely everything. And so if you're a newcomer and you think that you can do it on your own and you know, you don't need anybody's help, and I swear, I mean, the moment that you give up all of those beliefs, and for me, you know, when I came and I fell on my knees and I said, I can't do any of this. Then I was able to, I gave up my self-will, and then I was allowed to let God in, and then I was able to let all you in and program and follow these steps exactly the way that that the big book says to follow the steps. And I thought I did excellent. I thought my life before this was all about other people, was all about doing service, was all about doing what you needed. And I thought that I was being, you know, that was that self-righteous thing. You know, I was doing all these things for you, and that's why it's okay for me to have my compulsive overeating. That's why it's okay for me to, you know, binge that, you know, with this food, because that's my reward.
Gentle reminder.
And, thank you. And now I don't have to do that anymore. And I'm in true service and I'm in true love with all of you people and working the steps. I'm so glad to be here. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca T. Mo H., you're up next.
Thank you very much for your service. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Start the timer. so grateful to be here this morning. I haven't been able to be on live for quite a little while here, but I am back and loving this reading. My high dream would have been Fred's story, which was to find recovery very early on after hearing about it. Seems like it wasn't a very long time from when he was in the hospital. And these men showed up and helped him out. And I had help many, many, many years ago, but I guess I wasn't ready. I wasn't desperate enough, and I hadn't hit bottom. And it took almost 25 years for me to reach that point. I hadn't been badly mangled enough, or I hadn't accepted that I was badly mangled. But I have been brought into a way of living that is so much more satisfying and so much more useful than I ever dreamed of. This is a high dream that has come true for me. I just love, 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 love this meeting in the morning and all of your shares and how I'm learning every day. And I love my sponsees who are working their big book and just enjoying life in a much more peaceful and gentle way. Life isn't hard. Yes, life is difficult. Yes, I have problems. Yes, there's things going on, but I can walk through them. And yesterday I told my sponsor, I said, I'm restless, irritable, and discontent, and I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out. And she said to do some free writing. I had never heard of this before, to just free write, and that a 10th step would come out of that, because I was trying to figure out how to do a 10th step because I can't figure out what the issue is. And so over the weekend, I plan to do some free writing about just everything that's going on in my head and to get it out. And so that's a gift of one person to another in this program. And that is the gift of being of service. I love that piece of the sick man's prayers. How can I be of service? And answering that, how can I be helpful, not only to myself, but to others? And so I am just so grateful to be back here and to be in this way of living that is infinitely more satisfying than any life that I could have dreamed of. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Mo H. It truly is. We're commenting and on two paragraphs at the bottom of page 42 and more about alcoholism, the third paragraph that begins with quite as important, and reading through two paragraphs, ending with commence to solve their problems. And who would like to comment on those paragraphs?
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Carol H.
Carol.
Deborah
Carol
H.
Sherry
Nicole C.
Deborah K. Deborah P. And Sue, was that? Sue,
Andy.
I didn't get your. And D.
Marilyn T.
And Marilyn T. I think that's all we may have time for. I have Jordan L., Carol, not sure what the last initial is, Sherry KB, Deborah P., I believe, Sue, I'll need your first initial of your last name, Andy, and Marilyn, I'll also need your initial. Trying to keep up with you all. So let's start with Jordan L., followed by Carol G.
Can you hear me still?
Yes, I can, Carol. Please go ahead. Jordan, please go ahead.
Jordan. My name's Jordan L. I'm a compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. So we left off yesterday. Fred's got the curious feeling that his alcoholic condition has been relieved, as in fact it proved to be. Like I was saying yesterday, you guys told me that food was not the problem, that it was the solution. And upon hearing that and understanding
understanding that I'm an addict and I'm always going to go back to the food no matter what, no matter how bad it burns me, no matter how much weight I gained last time, no matter what, I'm an addict and I'm always going to go back to the food because it's my solution, because I'm a human being with normal human emotions that build up, and that's how I deal with them, right? And so understanding that and then being able to, like, take the next step forward and, like, okay, maybe if I follow this drastic program of action, I can live my life without the food. That was for me, my alcoholic condition being relieved, which stay tuned to find out if, in fact, it has proved to be. and I'm still discovering the spiritual principles and how they can solve all my problems. And I'm still discovering this useful way of living. And I don't know if I can agree with the statement that my old manner of life was by no means a bad one, or at least agree entirely with it, because I would say that my old manner of life was not so much bad as painful. But it helps me not like beat myself up too much for it, you know? I'm here now, I'm moving forward. It's time to live differently, you know? and I certainly would not go back even if I could. And for me, Fred's story does speak for itself, and it does strike home. And I suppose you could say I am only feeling the nip of the ringer in that I haven't had years and years and years of unbearable mental and physical suffering. I've really only had about 5 years.
Gentle reminder.
But I'll just wrap up real quick. I've had this disease since I was a little girl. So it's pretty cool to have, like, a solution to life other than the food. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Carol, will you please give me the first initial of your last name?
Sure. This is Carol H.
H, thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Carol H. calling from the foothills of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. Really grateful to share today. I was reminded it is good for me to share. I often listen and feel that everything I would share has already been said, and I would say the same is true for today, but I do relate very much to the first paragraph about learning that the spiritual principles would solve all my problems, not only with my food disease, but with other things in life. And I do not feel like I had a terrible life coming into this program, but food ruled it, was my only solution to things. So it took me many years to find the rooms of OA. And I read in some of our OA literature, there's an appendices in something that says from a doctor that, you know, people that maybe have cancer can only hope to maybe get back to partially good shape from you know, when they found out they had the disease. But if I'm a compulsive eater and I find this program and I apply the steps, then my life can be even better than it was before my disease might have commenced. And I find that true for me. Even though my disease goes back a very long way, I feel that my life can only be better. And I always say, when someone's maybe sharing a problem and they don't know what to do, I always say, for me, program never makes a problem worse. It usually makes it better. It really does. And food never makes it better. So I always say, apply the spiritual principles and life will stay good. And it does stay good. So that's all I needed to share today. And I'm really grateful for the meetings in the morning, and I will continue to listen and learn. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you, Carol H.
Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Deborah P.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. I really love these paragraphs because it reminds me that the spiritual principles will solve all my problems. And, you know, I was always trying to solve my problems. I'm an addict. And even though I have a buildup of human emotions, but I'm an addict. And so with being an addict, that means either I'm restless, irritable, discontent, or I'm in fear, doubt, and insecurity. And the beautiful part of this is that I found a way through spiritual principles to solve all my problems by when I am doing a 10th step, an 11th step, I really believe that my higher power gets in there and cleans out all the stuff while I'm being useful to somebody else. My higher power gets in there and cleans out all of that so that I can be useful to God, to others, and to myself, because when I am useful to God and to others, I am being useful to myself because I am an addict. And I love the fact that I have experienced matching calamity with serenity due to this work, and I've never been able to do that before. And, you know, you hear us on the line, and, you know, we are happy because we've found a way out. We don't have to use the food in order to solve our problems anymore because we have a higher power that helps solve our problems, and we have a way out of dealing with them that I've never been able to deal with it before, and finding freedom, being happy, joyous, and free, even when things are going on in my life. I love where it says here, a way of living that's infinitely more satisfying and I hope more useful than the life I lived before. And infinitely means limitless. And where I was in finite self, I was limited. And when I connect my will with my higher power's will, it is infinitely more better. It seems to solve my problems whenever I am having problems, and I am human, and I am going to have problems, and I still have problems, but the way that I deal with them is so far better than being face down in the food. And it's an amazing experience because I've had this happen over and over and over again, and it keeps getting better and better and better. And this can get better for you too if you just get into the work, work the steps, and, you know, work, you know, clean house and help others. That's the whole idea. But the food's got to be down first in order to be able to do that. Because I couldn't get this thing until I had the food down and then got into the work, worked the steps, got connected to my higher power. Because my higher power is so infinitely more than I could ever be helping myself. And I do still wake up restless, irritable, and discontent, but I have a way out now due to these steps that help me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. Deborah P., you're up next, followed by Sue.
Hi, this is Deborah P. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Deborah.
This is Deborah P., recovering compulsive overeater. And it's just good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. And it's really helpful, all these shares for me, since I'm kind of new at this, or back, I should say. And, you know, I think the first couple shares about just being useful and having the opportunity to reach out to other people is a big, big part of this program and a part of the spiritual discovery for me. I've had problems since I was a child. I mean, I've been at this for decades. I was in the kitchen the other day making a meal, and for some reason, the word, and this is just for my own journey, I'm not saying this for anybody else, the word greed came to me. And I have no idea why. I've never associated that word with food in any way. Most people think of greed, they think of money and that kind of thing. But I decided to look up the word. And the word, it says, intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, and food. And the other dictionary I had said, greed, the number one thing was having a strong desire for food and drink. And, you know, I have to just kind of confess that, you know, maybe I think in the big book they kind of say self-centeredness, selfishness, that kind of thing. but that I do have some sort of greed. It's just, it doesn't have anything to do with money. I've never been like, oh, I gotta have more money, but this desire to always want more, like just never satisfied with what I have. So that was kind of part of my surrender, you know, when I realized that about myself, even just, you know, even the fact that I just isolate. I mean, I'm sure there may be many reasons why I isolate, but it's kind of like, well, it's all about me. And, you know, I should be reaching out to others and not, you know, just not get so introspective about it. And just, you know, I think if I could reach that point where, you know, I do feel more useful and, you know, being helpful to others, that will be a spiritual, you know, that will be really enriching my spiritual life, but I cannot say that I have really reached that quite yet. So, I'm just very grateful to hear everybody's story, and it helps me to grow in this program. And, with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deborah P. Sue, you're up next. May I please have the first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Ann T, I believe.
Hi, my name is Sue Ann D, and I'm from New York.
Sue Ann D, I think I got you down as two people, Sue and Ann D.
Yes, you do.
Please go ahead, Sue.
Well, then I thank you doubly for your service. In reading the big book about Fred and his life, there are elements to it that I really relate to, in that my life was stable. I was secure in terms of financially secure. I had good jobs. I was able to function. I have a wealth of friends. But I am an addict, and I've been fighting this disease since, I guess, for the last 30 years. I found program 11 years ago. My stubbornness and my, I guess, my addiction was so embedded in me that I was listening to it and manipulating what I called the program, you know, the pick and choose kind of program, or a halfway doing the program, which didn't work at all. So I came to a point where I realized that I heard in one of my meetings, and it stayed with me, that I had three empty holes in my body. One was physical, one was emotional, one was spiritual. And at different times on different days, the emptiness of one of them or more were guiding my behavior. And that really struck me. And I realized at that point that if I wanted to fill those holes, I had to do the program 100%. And not long after that, someone approached me in a meeting who I had seen at meetings for many years. And she said, "Can I help you?" And she was a sponsor. And she said, "I've been thinking about you, and if I can help you, I would really love to do that." And with that, we started on my path to recovery. And a vision has certainly been a major part of the recovery, because people from all over the country have reached out to me. In talking to them, I can ask them questions, which makes talking on the phone that much easier, rather than having to just come up with something that I have to talk about. I've gotten wonderful support and heard people's stories, which coincided with mine. Sometimes they were different and opened my eyes in a different way. But the major difference in my life now is a spiritual path that I have to follow. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sue Andy. And Marilyn, you're up next. And may I have the first initial of your last name, please?
Yes. Hi. This is Marilyn T. from Northern California. May I be heard?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Marilyn T. from Northern California, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. The first, the one that just grabs me the most is the first sentence of the third paragraph. Quite as important was the discovery that a spiritual principles would solve all my problems. Never quite grasped that. That concept had not been presented to me, or I was not listening, since I'd gotten in the program in 2009. I really feel that I came into OA as another diet club, truthfully. Lost my weight, got partially through, and then pretty much threw it all away. Being a selfish, self-seeking, stubborn person who really thought I had all the answers, I just got what I wanted and I left. Being a user and a taker, as the person ahead of us have said. But quite important was the discovery that a spiritual principle would solve all my problems. Working the steps through a vision for you, having a sponsor, being accountable, getting the discipline again, being desperate for a connection to be unblocked from my higher power, the promises that have come true because of it, and the inner peace that now resides in the hole in my chest. By being useful, by working the steps, by using the spiritual toolkit, by reaching out to all of you and making connections and just dwelling in the spirit has been something I have always longed for and searched for and so thankful that I found. I would never trade the worst of these days for the best that I had in food. I was never happy and it was never going to make me happy. I'm very thankful for this program. Thank you for all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. We have time for one more share. Who would like to take this last opportunity today?
Christy G.
Please go ahead, Christy.
Thank you so much. My name is Christy G., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. And I'm usually only on this line listening to recordings, so I'm so blessed to be able to get on live, and just the shares have been amazing, and I thank you for your service, everyone, for sharing daily, because it gives so much inspiration. I just want to say I'm recovered and abstinent almost a year now, and I fully agree with this paragraph, and especially the end of it, that I wouldn't trade the worst days that I have now for the best days before. I'm 43, and for the majority of my life has been on one diet or another. And I sincerely mean that, because I was put on a diet as a kid. And that was my entire focus, my entire life. And the focus of pretty much everyone around me was my weight and how it was out of control. And though I still have demons where the scale is concerned, and wanting to get that last 20 pounds off, progress, not perfection, right? I am nowhere near the person I used to be. I am so much more, and that's not because of me. That's because of God. And, you know, I've been a Christian since 1992, and when I came to program, I was, I had already lost over 100 pounds, so most of my weight. And people ask me, why did you come to program if almost all your weight is off? And it's so not a weight issue. It's a head issue and it's a heart issue. And I thought I, you know, had my spiritual connection when I came to program. But when I finally did have my spiritual experience, I realized the problem is selfishness. It's not weight. It's not food. It's not any of the other things. It's selfishness and self-centeredness. And I am every day working this program still, steps 10, 11, and 12, like my hair is on fire, and wouldn't have it any other way. It is not an easy thing to do, but we can't give up and we have to continue forging forward. Otherwise, we will succumb to the disease. And even the hardest days are better than the best days from before. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Christy G. And thank you, everybody who has shared today. Great shares. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164. Will Terry H. please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you. My name is Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.